Welcome to Chemistry Unlocked, your go-to podcast for GCSE and A-level exam success. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fundamental topics in all of chemistry, atomic structure and the periodic table. Whether you're just starting out or doing your final revision, this episode is packed with everything you need to know to smash those exam questions. So grab your revision notes, get comfortable, and let's get started. Section 1. Core concepts. Let's begin at the very beginning, the atom itself. Everything around you, from the air you breathe to the screen you're reading from, is made of atoms. And understanding what's inside an atom is absolutely essential for your chemistry exams. An atom has two main regions. First, there's the nucleus at the very center. The nucleus is tiny, we're talking incredibly small, but it contains almost all of the atom's mass. Inside the nucleus, you'll find protons and neutrons. Protons carry a positive charge, and neutrons have no charge at all. They're neutral, which is actually where the name comes from. Then, surrounding the nucleus, you have electrons. Electrons are negatively charged particles that orbit the nucleus in specific regions called electron shells or energy levels. Electrons have almost no mass compared to protons and neutrons. In fact, their mass is so small, we often treat it as negligible in calculations. Now, here's a key fact that examiners love to test. In a neutral atom, the number of protons always equals the number of electrons. This is what makes the atom electrically neutral overall. The positive charges from the protons cancel out the negative charges from the electrons. Let's talk about two incredibly important numbers, the atomic number and the mass number. The atomic number, sometimes called the proton number, tells you how many protons are in the nucleus. This number is unique to each element. Carbon always has 6 protons. Sodium always has 11. Change the number of protons and you've got a completely different element. The atomic number is what defines an element. The mass number, on the other hand, tells you the total number of protons and neutrons in the nucleus. So if you know the mass number and the atomic number, you can work out the number of neutrons very easily. Neutrons equals mass number minus atomic number. Simple subtraction. Examiners give marks for this calculation, so make sure you show you're working. Now, let's talk about isotopes. This is a higher tier topic, but it's really important. Isotopes are atoms of the same element that have the same number of protons, but different numbers of neutrons. Because they have the same number of protons, they're the same element. But because the neutron count differs, they have different mass numbers. A brilliant example is carbon. Carbon-12 has 6 protons and 6 neutrons. Carbon-14 has 6 protons but 8 neutrons. Both are carbon, both have atomic number 6, but they're different isotopes. Carbon-14 is actually radioactive and is used in carbon dating to estimate the age of ancient artifacts. That's a lovely real-world application that examiners sometimes reference. Because elements exist as a mixture of isotopes in nature, we use something called relative atomic mass. This is a weighted average of the masses of all the isotopes of an element, taking into account how abundant each isotope is. The formula is relative atomic mass equals the sum of a mass of each isotope multiplied by its percentage abundance, all divided by 100. This is a higher tier calculation, and it's one where candidates frequently lose marks by forgetting to divide by 100 or by mixing up which number is the mass and which is the abundance. Now let's move on to electron configuration. How electrons are arranged in their shells. This is absolutely crucial because the electron arrangement of an atom determines almost everything about how it behaves chemically. Electrons fill shells starting from the innermost shell and working outwards. The first shell can hold a maximum of 2 electrons. The second shell can hold a maximum of 8 electrons. The third shell can also hold up to 8 electrons at GCSE level. So if you're filling in electron configurations, remember 2, then 8, then 8. Let's practice with sodium. Sodium has atomic number 11, so it has 11 electrons. First shell gets 2, second shell gets 8, that's 10 electrons placed. The remaining 1 electron goes into the third shell. So sodium's electron configuration is written as 2, 8, 1. You might also see this written in a diagram with concentric circles, the nucleus in the middle, then rings showing the shells with dots representing electrons. This brings us to the periodic table. The periodic table isn't just a list of elements, it's an incredibly organized system where position tells you everything about an element's structure and behavior. Elements are arranged in order of increasing atomic number. The horizontal rows are called periods. The period number tells you how many electron shells an atom of that element has, So all elements in period 1 have one electron shell. Period 2 elements have two shells. Period 3 elements have three shells. Straightforward. The vertical columns are called groups. The group number, for groups 1 to 7, tells you how many electrons are in the outermost shell. This is enormously important because it's the outer shell electrons, called valence electrons, that determine how an element reacts. Group 1 elements all have one outer electron. Group 7 elements all have seven outer electrons. Group 0, the noble gases, have full outer shells, which is why they're so unreactive. So if I tell you an element is in period 3, group 2, you can immediately work out its electron configuration. Three shells, two outer electrons, so it's 2, 8, 2. That's magnesium. Beautiful. Now let's talk about the historical development of atomic models. This is a favorite topic for extended writing questions worth 4 to 6 marks. The story begins with John Dalton in 1803. Dalton proposed that atoms were tiny, indivisible, solid spheres. He had no knowledge of subatomic particles. His model was revolutionary for its time, but as we now know, incomplete. Then came J.J. Thomson in 1897. Thomson discovered the electron through his cathode ray tube experiments. This was a massive deal. It proved that atoms weren't indivisible after all. They contained smaller particles. Thomson proposed the plum pudding model, a sphere of positive charge with electrons embedded throughout, like raisins in a Christmas pudding. Lovely analogy, and one that examiners expect you to describe accurately. The real game changer came in 1911 with Ernest Rutherford's famous alpha particle scattering experiment. Rutherford fired positively charged alpha particles at a very thin sheet of gold foil. According to the plum pudding model, the positive charge was spread out, so the alpha particles should have passed straight through with only minor deflections. But that's not what happened. Most particles did pass straight through, but some were deflected at large angles and a very small number bounced straight back. Rutherford famously said it was like firing artillery shells at tissue paper and having them bounce back at you. This led Rutherford to conclude that the atom is mostly empty space with a tiny, dense, positively charged nucleus at the center. This was the nuclear model of the atom. The key observations and their conclusions are classic exam material. Most particles pass through. Atom is mostly empty space. Some deflect, nucleus is positively charged and repels positive alpha particles. A few bounce back, nucleus is tiny but very dense and massive. Later, in 1913, Niels Bohr refined the model by proposing that electrons orbit the nucleus in fixed energy levels or shells, rather than randomly. This is the model we use at GCSE today. Section 2. Exam tips and common mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, command words. When a question says state, give a brief factual answer. No explanation needed. Describe means tell me what happens or what something looks like. Use correct terminology. Explain is the big one. You must say how or why something happens. Use the word because to link cause and effect. Examiners are looking for that causal link. For the alpha particle scattering experiment, a very common mistake is describing what happened without explaining what it tells us about atomic structure. You need both, observation and conclusion. One mark for each, typically. Another classic error, confusing atomic number with mass number. Remember, atomic number is always the smaller number on the periodic table symbol. It's the number of protons. Mass number is always the larger number. It's protons plus neutrons. For isotope questions, candidates often forget that isotopes have the same chemical properties because they have the same electron configuration. The number of neutrons doesn't affect chemical behavior. It only affects the mass. This distinction earns marks in compare questions. For relative atomic mass calculations, always show you're working. Even if you get the final answer wrong, you can still earn method marks. Write out the formula, substitute the values, and show each step clearly. When drawing electron configuration diagrams, make sure you don't put more than 2 electrons in the first shell or more than 8 in the second and third shells. This is a very common error that immediately costs marks. For periodic table questions, remember that going down a group, elements become more reactive for group 1 metals because the outer electron is further from the nucleus and less strongly attracted. But going down group 7, elements become less reactive because the incoming electron goes into a shell further from the nucleus and is less strongly attracted. These trends are higher tier content and are frequently tested. Section 3, Quick Fire Recall Quiz. Time for a quick fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1, what is the charge of a proton? The answer is positive, plus 1. Question 2, what does the atomic number tell you? The number of protons in the nucleus. Question 3, how do you calculate the number of neutrons? Mass number minus atomic number. Question 4. What is the maximum number of electrons in the second shell? 8. Question 5. What did Rutherford's alpha scattering experiment prove? That the atom has a tiny, dense, positively charged nucleus and is mostly empty space. Question 6. What are isotopes? Atoms of the same element with the same number of protons but different numbers of neutrons. Question 7. In the periodic table, what does the group number tell you? The number of electrons in the outer shell. Question 8. Why are noble gases unreactive? They have a full outer electron shell. How did you do? If you got all 8, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed a few, go back and review those specific concepts. Section 4, summary and sign off. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today's episode. Number 1. Atoms contain protons and neutrons in the nucleus, with electrons and shells around the outside. Protons are positive, neutrons are neutral, electrons are negative. Number 2, atomic number equals the number of protons. Mass number equals protons plus neutrons. Neutrons equals mass number minus atomic number. Number 3, isotopes are same element, same protons, different neutrons, different mass numbers, same chemical properties, different physical properties. Number 4, relative atomic mass is a weighted average of isotope masses. Multiply each mass by its abundance percentage, add them up, divide by 100. Number 5, electron configuration fills shells in order 2, then 8, then 8. The outer shell electrons determine chemical behavior. Number 6, the periodic table is arranged by increasing atomic number. Period number equals number of electron shells. Group number equals number of outer electrons. Number 7. The development of atomic models. Dalton's solid sphere, Thomson's plum pudding, Rutherford's nuclear model from alpha scattering, Bohr's energy levels, shows how scientific models evolve with new evidence. That's it for today's episode of Chemistry Unlocked. You've covered atomic structure, subatomic particles, isotopes, relative atomic mass, electron configuration, the periodic table, and the history of atomic models. That is a huge amount of content, and you should feel really proud of yourself for working through it. Remember, the best revision combines listening with active recall. So close your notes and see how much of this you can write down from memory. Then check back and fill in the gaps. Good luck with your exams. You've got this. See you in the next episode.